As you think about church planting, it's very important to build a great team of leaders. Building a great team of leaders is essential. If your dream or goal and the model you picked as a church planting includes growing to the place that you could have more impact in a local community, if that is your dream. Now, many of you may just want to do a cell group, or if it's a house church, maybe some of these things aren't as important. But I even submit that even in those cases, building a great team of leaders is vitally important. We saw how Jesus built a great team of leaders out of disciples, and we see how the Apostle Paul built a great team of leaders in the early church. So we're going to talk about that. And these principles apply for such things as getting an elder board, deacon board, for getting various ministries in the church going. So as we talk about building a great team of leaders, let's look at several important principles. Number one, great teams will have a shared mentality that strives for the bigger picture. And we're dealing with Douglas Crumbly's book here, and he writes, "This does not mean that every person on the team is a big picture thinker. On the contrary, it does mean, however, that the outcome of every decision and every front has the big picture of the ministry in view. They are always asking how each decision affects the ministry as a whole, the vision as a whole, the mission of the entire ministry. This is the major difference between a committee-led church and a team-led church. Committees are concerned how the decisions of the ministry affect their area. Teams are concerned how their decisions affect the overall ministry." See, there's a different shift there. One's a mission shift, and the other is just, I have my area, we're talking about this area, we care about this area, even at the expense of other areas of the church. Number two, great teams always come back to what the vision and mission is. For the vision is solidified in the hearts of the people of your church, you will have the continuity fight for it. Make no mistake here, distractions in the form of good ideas, motivations, and needs will shout at you from every direction. So that's going to happen. So in a lot of ways, as a leader, the church planter, you're developing a direction, and there will be a pushback. Great teams always come back to what the mission, the vision is all about. So that's number two. Number three, great teams are not moved by issues. Instead, they move issues with their mission emphasis. This is the most difficult to teach from a laboratory setting. Like here we are at Christian Leaders Institute, we're talking about these things. It's one of those things that you can practice and become proficient at while in the clinic, that is, while you're actually planting a church. But until you are faced with this, you still are not able to grasp the toughness of this one. So as you become proficient in this clinic, this laboratory, and get better and better and you're focused on it, this is one area that you just have to live out. Great teams are not moved by issues. Rather, they move issues with their mission emphasis. Number four, great teams do not make decisions based on whims and knee-jerk reactions of a few loud people. This sounds like number three in some ways, and it may be very similar. When you plant your church, you have the many, many people making many, many suggestions about what you and the leadership of the church should be doing. However, the tyranny of the urgent is something you specifically have to watch for. And I'll give you an example. Okay, so you're planting a church, and all of a sudden you're having a meeting, and you're going to talk about something important to the vision and mission of the church that will keep moving the needle for reaching your community. Just then, the team starts, and a problem is introduced. Like, it's in often it comes in the form of it's a problem with somebody, like somebody on the team didn't like last Sunday's worship service. So you talk about something like that, and then you miss out on the vision, the mission that you're really talking about in your team. So don't get caught up in making a knee-jerk reaction quickly. Stay focused on the mission. Number five, great teams are not afraid of disagreement among team members. And that's going to happen. In fact, what Douglas Crumbly says, in fact, conflict is encouraged. Now, what he means here by conflict is not conflict where there is no peace, not mean-spirited conflict. What he's talking about is some differing of opinions. This is the one part of team leadership that I enjoy teaching to spirit-filled leaders the most. Notice how he mentioned spirit-filled leaders who really want the best. We are so used to not questioning our leaders, praising the celebrity status of some, in fear that we may in some way touch God's anointing if we fail to use the gifts, strengths, anointing that God has given us. The people whom God sends you are not there just to serve your every whim. So what we're talking about here is, as a pastor and a leader, be one who asks people to see things in their way, not necessarily how you see everything. Because these, quote, disagreements are opportunities to get at greater mission truth. Number six, great teams are not afraid to pay the price. In his book, The Indisputable Law of Teamwork, John Maxwell spells out that there are four prices each team member must pay for the team to be successful. They are as follows: sacrifice, time commitment, personal development, unselfishness. I strongly suggest you ensure all your team members have job descriptions that clearly spell out your expectations. This won't solve all your issues, but this will go a long way in making leading your church more manageable. You know, I want to bring up something right now, especially as you think about, you know, asking people to serve as elders and deacons. A mistake I know I made in early church planting is that you ask someone to be an elder, but then you don't have it cleared out, like clarified, how long will you be an elder? Maybe it should be 3 years, and just you spout out right from the start so that people don't have this like unclear expectation, so that later on when you're ready to continue to get new people in, the person that you asked when you started is an elder, and they're very offended. He or she, if they're a deacon, for instance, are very offended that you would move on and not have them serve in your church. So put job descriptions, so to speak, volunteer descriptions, lay them out ahead of time. Number seven, great teams are leading teams. You will know the difference between leading and managing. Leading always has the future in mind. Managing has the present in mind. Leading asks, where can we go? Managing asks, where are we at? While both are necessary, please hear me in the beginning. There will need to be a whole lot more leading than just management of the church. You know, one of my friends, Rich DeVos, talks about that. And he says there's the leading phase, the managing phase. But after the managing phase, things decline. And then there has to be a new revitalization. In a church plant, it's about vitalization. It's about taking off. It's about leading and training your leaders to lead others to lead. So you're always thinking about how to have that servant leadership out there and how to raise up more leaders. You know, I want to change gears now and basically talk about the leader qualities for the launch team. So here you are wanting to plant a church, and you need to find people who will join you in launching a new church. And, you know, in some ways that's daunting because you're thinking, how do I find the people who will help me launch this church? What do they look like? Well, let's talk about some of these leader qualities. And when I say this too, I understand that nothing is perfect. So you might want to get the perfect leader quality, but in some ways you want to strive for something and you prayerfully receive who the Lord has given you. Again, first of all, before they're asked to serve on your launch team, look at their Facebook page. Not just their current post, but go back a couple of years as far as you can. If you see a few posts that are red flags for you, pay attention to them. Any flaws in character will be magnified and harmful if put into a leadership position. Now, I want you to know, I don't want anyone to think, oh, we are going to just look at people's Facebooks for reasons to sort of be gossipy or stuff like that. No, what you're looking for are quality people. And you do want to flag those people who will be cause trouble if it is possible for you to see that. Leader qualities for the launch team. Ask their former pastor. How long were they with you? How well did they serve? What are their strengths and weaknesses? How do they treat people? Now, many times you can't do that, but if you can, that'd be great. I remember in one of my church plants, a leader came. I believe that was a leader. You know, I put him in positions of leadership. And once he was in the position, he was nothing but trouble. And eventually it ended badly, and you try to pick up the pieces. Then I was talking to his former senior pastor. Somehow we were at some mutual dinner, and hey, how's that so-and-so doing? And so we talked a little bit, and what I found out is the former pastor said, oh, he created all kinds of division and dissension here. And, you know, we were glad he left. And I thought to myself, why didn't you call me if you knew he came to my church? But really, I could have taken the responsibility too and said, hey, so-and-so has come here and he seems like he's a leader. Should I be worried about anything? Is he doing good? And that pastor would have told me that he created a lot of dissension. So these are good ideas to think about. Here's other leader qualities for the launch team. Do a spiritual gift and a spiritual finder profile on them. And there are online tools to help you do that. There's books you can buy that sort of help you find out who has certain gifts and who doesn't. If you can, run a nationwide background check on each leader, as well as have one run on yourself. And again, in many places in the world, you can't do some of these things, but in other places in the world, you can. The idea is you're developing quality launch team leaders. Your team needs to be made of people who are loyal to the vision, the leadership team, and are full of intense passion for the new church plant. In short, you're looking for people of integrity, character, and who have a good temperament. This is not a place for insecure people who are pouters, blamers, hot-headed. They need to be people of their word, loyal, and of course, spirit-filled. You really are looking for quality people on your leadership launch team. Now, I want to talk about a reality check here. Think about it. Leadership is leadership. If you cannot get people to attend and be active in Sunday school class you lead, how in the world are you going to be successful at launching a church? If you can't get along with team members serving in children's ministry, how will you ever build a top leadership team for an entire church with impact leaders? If you're not able to host and grow a small group of 12 people in your home, how do you grow a church with 100 plus? Now, why is Douglas Crumbly talking like this? Well, it's this way. You're thinking about church planting. In a lot of ways, what you've done with a little means a lot. In a connections way of thinking, a home discipleship way of thinking, it's look at your own family. The issues related to getting your family to walk with God are microcosms for what it takes to lead others to walk with God or to lead others in leadership. The fact of the matter is a church planter can reach a church planter's lid. The lead pastor's inability to recognize that he is the one keeping his church from being effective has put a lid on the top of the organization. Regardless of how hard they may try to grow the church, they continually keep hitting the same lid and never realizing that they are the problem. This is the reason many pastors tell me that their church will reach a certain level of growth, stop, fall back, grow, back to that level again. The whole cycle continues to repeat itself year after year, and many times leaders are needing a breakthrough, but they have no idea that the kind of breakthrough they need is not always spiritual. Most of the time, it's a breakthrough in leadership. Why do I bring this up now? You see, we can talk about raising up a team of leaders, but we have to be very circumspect about ourselves as a leader. Do we feel secure to give others the stage? Do we have a clear sense of the vision so as others come along, we're helping them and influencing them in a vision? Yet, while we're influencing them in a vision, do we give each team leader an area where they can own the authority and the standing and the training to do well? And are we able to get our organizational thinking where we're not hitting the church planter lid? In conclusion, years ago, a wise instructor taught me something very valuable about releasing those around me to lead. It was in the form of a question that I have never forgotten. He asked, "Why would God search all over the world in answer to your prayers, sending you spirit-filled, anointed, and gifted people with a passion for what they are called to do, and then expect you not to allow them to lead?" This is a question that every church planter should ponder often. Think about this. You are a steward, not only of your money and your time, but of the people, the gifts that God has given you and the people around you. And yes, you can get burned, and then you can sort of not want to keep raising up people sometimes, and that often is a struggle church planters have. But it's this constant journey of saying, "Thank you, Lord, for the people in my life, the people you brought into my church, and how can I create these opportunities bathed in the vision and mission of the church, utilizing the people that God has given us?" So as we think about church planting, leadership, team development, never forget, it's about getting out of the way of God and bringing forward a team that can reach your community for the gospel of Jesus Christ.